All right, would you, before we pray, let's look into the scripture. Our place is the Gospel of Luke, and let me direct you, please, to the 11th chapter. Luke chapter 11 is our place. Read a couple of verses and then launch into this. Luke 11, 27 and 28. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." So we have, it looks like we have two warring beatitudes here, don't we? But it's not in fact that. Now I've already given too much of it away. But we're going to start by with verse 27, and we're going to ask a couple of questions. Why did the woman say this, and what did she mean when she said this? It's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, the statement that this woman makes is an interesting one. Why did she say this? Well, verse 14, we have to back up in the chapter and see just a little bit of what was going on. Verse 14 says there's this interesting thing that happens. Right here, right before this, it says, "He was casting out a demon, and it was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke." And you get the feeling that most people knew this guy. It's like the fellow that's always there begging there at the temple. You know, the people pass him every day. They know the situation. Or the guy that's out there in the tombs, this demon-possessed, everybody knows he's out there, and he's sort of the sore spot of the neighborhood. Well, here this fellow has a demon cast out, and it says the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But then some of them said, well, okay, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And others, to test him, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. Can you believe that? This is one of those things you just have to stop and almost slap your forehead and say, really, what? How can you ask such a thing, having just witnessed what you've seen? We want you to do something. We want to see something from heaven. Well, this was heavenly enough. And then he tells this story about Satan casting out Satan and the house being divided and then not being able to stand and that sort of thing. And then he tells the story about how an unclean spirit, when it moves out of its house, it goes and finds several others and comes back and finds the house swept, that sort of thing. And he is obviously a master as he's done this thing and as he is describing the hidden world about what these people are virtually ignorant about. I mean, they see the horrors of it every day in their society, but what's going on, who can tell? But Jesus tells them. And so he does this, he teaches this, and then she lifts up her voice and says, "Blessed is your mother." Now, what did the woman mean by that statement? Alfred Edersheim, the old Hebrew Christian, it reminds us, by the way, if you need a really good commentary on the Old Testament, get his book. It's about yay thick, and it's called The History of the Old Testament. And he'll just take you from Genesis all the way through and tell you what it means. And like Rush Limbaugh used to say, he'll tell you what you ought to think about it, too. He's that good. But anyway, Alfred Edersheim reminds us that there was a hope alive in Israel about this coming one who is to be the seed. You remember the promise back in Genesis 3? And the Lord gives this most, I like the way that one man says it, the most ancient of promises, the most difficult to accomplish, the most long-standing promise in the Bible is that the seed of the woman will come and he will bruise the serpent's head. He will undo all that Adam has brought into this world by his transgression. And God would do this. He would send a deliverer, the seed of the woman. And so it was a hope that Israel kept alive down the centuries. They were the ones that really held on to this. They were the ones that believed it. They were the ones that prayed over this. They were the ones who claimed it before God in the place of prayer. And then generation would slip into another generation and they would pass on to another, but they would still keep believing this promise. Does that sound familiar? And they still keep saying, "Oh Lord, come. Maranatha." Does that sound familiar? Yes. See, we've been in this position of waiting for the Lord for a long, long time, and the people have been claiming and pleading and asking these promises that God would do it. And it was especially dear, the thought of a Redeemer coming was especially dear to the women in Israel. The hope, the thought of maybe I will bear the Redeemer. Maybe it's coming through the woman, so maybe I will be the one. And they held on to this as a dear thought of the crown of womanhood is to bring into the world the Redeemer. And this was why being barren was such a reproach in those days. Well, it's not coming through me. And it was something that they felt keenly. And it was a grief to them. Not just shame, but grief. Well, she, as she watches this teacher from Nazareth, who has just cast out a spirit that has left this man mute, and when the thing goes, the man speaks again, maybe to her it just seems the hope has been realized. They said this about Jesus. They would watch something. They would see him do a wonder, like, oh, I don't know, raise somebody from the dead, or open blind eyes, and the list is long, isn't it? And they would see that, and they would say to one another, could this be? Could this be the hope of Israel? And many of them were saying in their hearts, yes. And you'll find this. You'll find this as you read the Gospels. Son of David, have mercy on me, they would cry. What do they mean by that? The Messiah, the Redeemer, the seed of the woman is here among us. And I think that this is sort of all wrapped up in this statement of this dear lady. We don't even know her name. She lifts her voice and she says, blessed is your mother, the one who bore you. Blessed is she. She has brought in the hope, the long-standing hope that we've held dear, dear, really for millennia. Only to hear our Lord say, on the contrary. On the contrary. That's the first few words there of verse 28. But he said, on the contrary. Now, was he disagreeing with the lady? Was he saying to this lady that Elizabeth got it all wrong? I'll read to you what Elizabeth said. And this is that time, you well remember, that Mary had gone off to the hill country to be with her. Some say she was a cousin, her was a relative, an aunt. I don't know quite the relationship, but they were related in this some way. And the angel says, your relative Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Aged Elizabeth, sort of like Sarah getting pregnant, right? I don't mean Sarah Milliken, I mean Sarah Abraham's Sarah. Well, you know, Mary comes into the house, and when Elizabeth, it says, heard Mary's greeting, she said something. She said, cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Here, she realizes, she says, how's it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And here's this woman, she's dark in the door, and she says, of all women that have ever walked this earth, you are blessed. Now, by the way, Luke tells us she said that after having just been filled with the Holy Spirit. and John the Baptist in her womb leaps, right? This is a moving experience, and it's a spiritual experience. But does she have it right? On the contrary, Jesus said, blessed is the womb that bore you. On the contrary. And was he disagreeing? You know my answer, don't you, before I say it? No, he was not disagreeing with her. But he was saying this. It comes down to what was he saying? If she did not bear the Messiah, if she could not bear the Messiah, yet she still could know blessing. Oh, only one woman, you might say, is that blessed. But I think all women's eyes in Israel need to be turned to see this, that every one of you, every single one of you, barren or otherwise, you may have a dozen kids at home, and you may realize that's more of a trial than you thought, but every one of you can be blessed, blessed, blessed. In fact, he once answered the question this way, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? In other words, who is family? She is praising family right here. Oh, that family, oh, you are so blessed. That woman is so blessed, and whoever your dad was, that is a blessed family. And Jesus is going to say, who? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And you know his answer, don't you? Let's see. I'll read it to you. Whoever, I like that. We should all like that. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He is my brother. He is my brother and sister and mother. We are utterly simpatico. We are like this. We are of a blood. We are kin to one another. We are this close. How close are you? You've been asking prayers, a lot of us, for pray for my sister, pray for my brother, pray for my father, pray. And well, we should. It's our family. We love them. We want the best for them. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you do the will of God, you are that dear to him. And I think that's awfully sweet. Now, what does he say? What is the rest of this beatitude? On the contrary, he's not disagreeing with her. He's not negating her, but he is adding this benefit for everybody. On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Who has do or does? Anyone? How does the end of verse 28 read to you? Keep it. Blessed are those, does it say hear? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I like that. What is he saying? Your ears are opened. And I don't mean this just that you're just anybody in that crowd, because it's thousands and thousands of people heard Jesus. The Pharisees heard Jesus. The scribes heard Jesus. The chief priests heard him. But he says, those who hear. And I can just see Ms. Donson leaning into the microphone and say, oh, beloved, do you hear? And she could get a lot of mileage out of one syllable, couldn't she? Do you hear? Well, let's put ourselves in that question. Do you hear? Do we hear? What is she saying by that? What was Jesus saying? Oh, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babes, the young ones, the little ones, the middle schoolers and below. You've opened the eyes of the heart to grasp this. There's something wonderful. It's not magical. It's spiritual. There's something wonderful about the scriptures, about the good word of God. And this is, I think, what John was trying to get at when he says, you really don't need anyone to teach you. And he wasn't just giving all the teachers and pastors in all of Christendom the door and saying, that's the way out. You know, go do something else better with your time. And he was saying this, when that man has spent his last sentence and he's spun those words around and your head is reeling, you still, and I've still, and we've all still got to get down with this and say, all right now, Lord, this has got to mean something to me. It has to speak to me. It has to, by the Spirit, be made mine. I've got to understand what it means to me. There are such blind spots in my understanding. There's such great gaps in my realization of truth. I just have just the fringes of what it means to know the things of God. You will have to teach me. And it's not a matter of getting a diagram on the chalkboard or reading the best book. And I say, go ahead and do that. Get your diagrams and read the best books. But then all said and done, we're going to have to say to Christ our God, open my ears. I love that hymn that we sing. Open my ears. Illumine me. What's that number, honey? 163. Gotta love that. Let's see. Open my eyes. Illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my ears. Illumine me. Spirit divine. Open my heart. Illumine me. Spirit divine. Some of the most spiritually illiterate people on the planet are those who have made a career out of studying the Bible. But they do it in a critical way, trying to find what's wrong, trying to prove its fallacy here and there, backing up into the roots of it and saying, well, that really means this when you think it means that. And on they go. They know more verses than we ever will, but they don't hear it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God. And then there follows something after that. And keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who do it. Blessed are those who observe it. And let me be bold here by saying this. The evidence of hearing, I mean really hearing, is that you will observe. Because with the hearing, I mean really hearing the word of God, comes the desire. And perhaps I can do nothing better in my explanation of what do you mean than to relate the experience of Augustine, who was just enslaved to his lusts. But the man knew, he knew a lot of the Bible. But he was enslaved to his lusts, and he one day hears this little urging, take and read, pick it up and read it. See, he finds a Bible and he opens up to that verse that says, what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Now, that verse is either going to beat you down with condemnation, or it's going to set you free. And that man was changed from that point on. And it's like the sun came out from behind the clouds and he found himself at liberty. And God made of that man the greatest theologian of his day. This is the fellow that Luther read, and it meant so much to him. But again, the thought there is that really hearing brings with it the love for the Scripture, the love for the Savior, the love for the Father, the desire to do it, the willingness, the impetus, some power goes with it. And I say some because we don't have all power yet, and we won't until we step into glory and we're perfected. But there is that which directs the life and says, I want to keep the word of God. No wonder Jesus said, those people are blessed. God has done something in them. And this is the kind of thing that we should pray. Well, number one, Lord, let me hear and help me keep. But then we pray this too for our friends, our children, our grandchildren, our fellow members in the fellowship. Lord, help us. May we hear Sunday by Wednesday, by Sunday. Let us hear. Lord, open our ears. When we get in our quiet places and get in that secret place that Jesus says the Father is there and he sees in secret, say, Lord, and you're reading your Bible, just say, Lord, I've read this 10,000 times. What does it mean? Speak to me. Illumine me. And then we'll be blessed. Blessed like Mary was blessed. Blessed like Paul was blessed. Like Augustine was blessed. Yes. All right, let's pray.